Hello, Bill.
Dr. Bill, good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
Good. How's your manic day going on at the conference? What's the I guess you had a few new travels. Where have you gone?
Oh, well, we were in Ecuador about a month ago working with Brian O'Leary and George Green. I think you know George, don't you?
Oh, yeah. So know George quite well.
And Brian O'Leary, ex-NASA, he's a free energy activist, and he's a very wonderful man. We're delighted to get to know him. And Ecuador is a very interesting place to be. Now we're in somewhere completely different at the Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
We've been talking informally with David Icke and Jordan Maxwell and a number of other people who you know pretty well.
I heard that David was down for the conference too, is that right?
That's correct. We're actually looking forward to interviewing him in a few days' time. We've been.
Do you have a contact for him? Because I've been wanting to get him on my show for a while, and I haven't been able to get in touch with him.
We would be delighted to make that introduction.
Bill, this is Carrie Cassidy. How are you doing?
Hi, Carrie.
We'd like to do a brief introduction before you get started there. So, hi there. This is Carrie Cassidy and Bill Ryan from Project Camelot. Today is Monday, the 16th of February. So, Bill Deagle, we're very interested in hearing what you have to say. I know you have an update for us, so go ahead.
And Bill, it was your birthday yesterday, is that right?
It wasn't. Today is President's Day, which is interesting. the update follows the talk last September, and of course the call back on October 4th regarding the dissolution of Iceland, which of course has got probably early membership in the European Union coming up, but what's going on is it's decaying to a kind of a state of chaos there. Yep. There's a number of nations where this is happening, and I just got off of doing a show today with Joan Vian, Ted Pike, and of course Lindsay Williams, his contacts high in the oil field and the globalist organizations that are controlling things. One thing I think people should realize is that what's coming is not a recession, it's not a depression, it's not even just an economic dissolution where we get the entire world economy to collapse. It's an economic revolution, which means that there probably is going to be some short, sharp, very severe pain, but they're going to be changing the whole very nature of what the world economy is. And what I believe from all the research and also the intuitive side of what's going on is we're going to be facing a number of things that fly in the face of logic and the latest in scientific research. For example, this week I'll have on the show Dr. Peter Ward, specialist in geology, volcanism, and air chemistry in terms of what's going on in the atmospheric chemistry. And his model, of course, using volcanism and sulfur dioxide as well as the human production of SO2 is one of the major factors controlling the climate. But they're going to proceed with a carbon tax at the time. They're probably going to put in jeopardy 100 million souls are likely to die in the next year from starvation caused by us not dealing with the financial problems. And if there's a financial seizure, in a sense, where the entire world economy shuts down, and this is happening both in U.S. ports and elsewhere, it's called a Baltic Dry Index, which means that goods are not being shipped anywhere in the world. That means food, automobiles, everything shutting down. It actually shut down 87% over its average. It means X of international flow of goods, usually by ship and rail around the world, that are shipping from one country to another. And it means that things aren't being shipped. So, for example, in Germany, they're stacking up on the docks and they don't have any place to put automobiles that are going to be shipped overseas. Goods in China, they're afraid of a deterioration in their whole society. So they continue to have the factories going, making products to be shipped overseas, and they have no place to put them. So what we have is a production of goods. At the same time, we're now entering into a fairly severe climate shift that's causing further dangers to world food supplies at a time when the economy is imploding. And the passage of the Senate and congressional bill that was done last week under the Obama administration, exactly opposite of what Lyndon LaRouche recommended, which I strongly recommend we follow what Lyndon's recommendations, except for his pushing of nuclear plants as a solution. We had Dr. Ernest Sternglass on the show last week, and I agree with him that we need to use natural gas and convert these nuclear power plants because they all release radioisotopes. And we do have a time window with technologies coming online, including nuclear fusion, solar and wind, and other energies that can help reduce the need. But the real problem right now in the short term is that we're moving into not a depression, but an economic meltdown and a complete conversion of the world economy. And I believe that during this period of pain, we're under incredible danger, of making wrong decisions. It looks like the Israelis have elected a government that's extremely right-wing and will not give any quarter to the Palestinians and is very likely to want to attack Iran in the next 6 months. This will also lead us to this peace treaty that we keep talking about that is likely to happen, where they partition the state of Israel and will guarantee a future war with an indefensible border. And the financial system is basically going to be tied to a world tracking system, so everything is inside their computer databases. Now, we're going to deal with a long-standing depression that's going to last for years and decades, something that's much more akin to a battlefield wound in the Civil War, where the battlefield doctor amputates a limb after a cannonball takes off part of someone's leg. It's going to be extremely painful without anesthetic on the battlefield with cautery and saws, etc. And that's the thing that people need to grasp here, is this is not like anything we experienced before, either in the Great Depression of the 1930s. It's more in keeping with the collapse of the Lombardy system in the 14th century that resulted in the Black Death, but it's even more than that, because what we're going to end up out of it very quickly is a whole new world economy where everything's in an electronic system that they have absolute control over every citizen on Earth, including tracking and control. And that's where we're going, and it's going to happen fairly rapidly with regionalized world currencies and debt restructuring of the planet. The problem I see right now is that I hear a lot of disinformation and fear-mongering. We still can't control where this goes. We do not have to go down the pathway that leads to the starvation of 100 million people and puts at risk the dangers of laying the groundwork for a pandemic, because the Japanese company Panasonic is already recalling their employees to Japan because they foresee in the next few months a pandemic. So what's happening basically with the warning call back before the 7th, they're going to, in a sense, Icelandify the economies of the world. And the decisions that were made during this first days of the Obama administration guarantees that implosion is going to happen sooner rather than later. So I agree with the experts, the financial experts like Gerald Celente. We're probably going to be dealing with a bank holiday as early as possibly somewhere between March and June.
This is very much what George Green says.
Right. And that means a worldwide collapse. And it's all tied. Part of this is tied because they have an agenda and a timeline. And people need to know this, that the timeline deals with galactic and solar issues. We're dealing with a time when we're moving to the energetic phase of the galactic plane. And they know the Earth changes are going to occur. They're getting ready with their golden tickets to try to hide underground when all of these events start taking place, rather than preparing the population to be prepared for the Earth changes that are going to occur to our planet. Believe it or not, the logic of the destroying the world's economy and releasing a pandemic or even starting a nuclear war gives them an excuse to hide underground while the rest of us are, in a sense, imploded with the financial meltdown and the wars and pestilence.
Okay.
So in a sense, the events that there are, in a sense, inflaming rather than solving the problem, yeah, is a cover for them to hide when the events strike our solar system and our planet.
But there's some things which a lot of people, including yourselves and us, thought that were going to happen round about the back end of last year, and they haven't actually happened yet, as far as is visible anyway.
Well, what's happened actually, if you talk to the financial experts, like we had Joan Vian on today and again last week, and other experts like Harley Schlanger from Executive Intelligence, what they're doing is behind the scenes, the Russians, for example, just met in over the last week or so with the Evelyn Rothschild in London. The G7 just met. They actually have made all the deals to set up the regional world banking structure and system. And it's almost finished. It's not a matter of going to start. It's actually almost all completed. And it's very likely that once they have all of their backroom agreements made, then they'll declare the bank holiday and declare this new currency standard. Just like I corroborated evidence that Hal Turner was correct, they've delivered over 800 billion Amero notes to the communist Chinese already in preparation for a whole new world currency system. So behind the scenes, everything's being done. Nothing is overt in terms of the regular news. And they're ready to do the final stages here very shortly.
Okay, Bill, but can you tell us who your sources are on this?
Sources, some of them I can and some I can't.
Maybe in general?
In general, I have financial experts that I've interviewed. I have other sources that are classified. Nevertheless, from what I hear, it agrees with the top experts that we've had recently on my program, plus my other independent research that's from other sources. For example, I've had contacts inside the government that in the last 30 days we dismantled two nuclear devices in two U.S. cities. One was New York City and another was another U.S. city, and I couldn't get a final answer on it, but it appears it may have been Los Angeles. That was from very high up in the government with very good contacts. So there were two major false flag events that just became averted by our own government, and we have good people inside the government that do not want to see the dissolution of America, especially with the rising tide now. Almost 20 states that are putting 10th Amendments in, and tomorrow I'm going to have on one of those initial authors on the program, Representative Charles Key of Oklahoma, and they're basically rebuking the federal government that in America, because it's a republic, it's based on an acceptance by the states to form a union called the United States of America. And what the government's doing under the Obama administration is to seize power and set up a imperial republic, not unlike what was set up with Imperial Rome, where the Caesars seized control over the provinces and the senators and created the rule of the Caesars during the Roman era. And this is exactly what Obama is doing under his administration, is to set up a new imperial America that will make treaties with world governments for regionalized currencies and a world governmental control of finances, the military, and ecological, along with world tax, like the world carbon tax, et cetera, to fund the globalization that they're doing.
You're seeing the states actually do these things called the 10th Amendment, and you're saying that they're... In some sense, they're actually seceding from the union is what the move is.
Yeah, they're basically doing a warning. It's almost like a warning before a divorce. Like, if you continue doing what you're drinking, beating me up and drinking or taking drugs and spending all our money and behaving and beating, you know, doing all these things to our family, in a sense, to America, the states are saying to the federal government, like a husband gone astray, they're saying, we're going to have a divorce. So basically, the states are saying with the 10th Amendment announcements, don't try to pass in federal laws when there isn't a state of war to have a national service, which will include all young people 18 to 25, including not only in branches of the four branches of the military, but Homeland Security and indentured servitude to corporations that can be renewed at the whim of the corporations or the government. Don't try to seize these powers over healthcare, like the HIT system, which is a health information technology, to monitor doctors. And in a sense, with the new policies written by Daschle, to actually have forced eugenics, which is actually in an attachment of the bailout bill. So they've attached a lot of things that are bringing in imperial powers to this new government.
Okay, but you're saying the state's 10th Amendment is not going to be successful. Why not?
Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't say it wasn't going to be successful. I'm saying that's the battle lines. See, the office of bringing things together in a sense of information and prophecy isn't to tell people what's going to necessarily happen. It's to give them the branch points of decision. Right now we're at a branch point where we need to rise up as states to get that requisite number 38 states to actually stand up and say, the federal government, don't think about passing these laws. Don't think about doing a false flag or a pandemic or a nuclear device in a U.S. city or a dirty bomb or any other kind of false flag event, because we know what's up. We're aware now that you're trying to seize power, and it's not just for the power for the federal government. It's power to be handed off to George Soros, who's the, if you want to call it, the largest inventor of the structured investment vehicles and the bubble economy, and also the leader of the, if you want to call it, the British-backed illegal drug sales around the world. So what we have now is a situation where the battle lines are finally drawing, and they're going to move very quickly. So we're at very high risk of a false flag in the next 6 to 9 months. In fact, this move by the states is very good because it shows that people are waking up spiritually and intellectually, that this is not just a new administration that's going to bring change to resurrect the economy. And we can see that this bailout is not really a thing to build the economy up. It is all pork and earmarks. It's designed to blow the economy, just like the reason for the war and invasion of Iraq was to have $1 trillion debt to blow the U.S. dollar. This is further going to compound the problems. And all these attachments like the HIT or the health information technology, which is part of eugenics policy to limit health care to people that are elderly, if you can afford it, the government and the doctors are going to be under an electronic medical records regime of total monitoring of every keystroke. The move of the states is a good thing, but they need to move more quickly because the danger of a false flag in the next 3 to 6 months is incredibly high, and the declaration of martial law along with a bank holiday, could be as early as March or before the summer.
What kind of false flag incident? Are you talking about an economic false flag?
Three different options that are available on the menu right now, and they could be a parallel or in sequence, like 1, 2, 3, like being hit by a prize fighter. The most likely first false flag is an economic bank holiday coming up as early as March. I'd say mid to late March is very likely. The next thing is an event that's very likely a nuclear event. If there's any moves at all to make any attack whatsoever or allow Israel to attack Iran, there will be two types of events. Number one, nuclear, and the other is biological. The countermeasures that Iran has right now in Syria is they have sleepers in America and in other Western nations with biological weapons ready to release. The avian flu is very, very likely to occur this year and almost certain to occur by next year. That means that the Japanese move by Panasonic Corporation to pull back employees to Japan with a coming pandemic is based on fact, not conjecture. So we have a number of events that we can avoid. We can dodge those bullets, but we need to start realizing that they are massaging and getting ready to kind of war game up which of these events in which sequence. I think that the financial bank holiday is most likely first.
We have a final question. It's not really a non sequitur, but it's a little bit of a left turn. And this is, what's happening to the world's weather?
The world's weather, basically, we're entering into the photon belt of the galaxy, and the volcanism under the Earth is about to change direction in the next few years. And what's happening right now is volcanoes all over the world are injecting more water into the atmosphere. We're going to talk about that this week, and we're also going to have one of our climatologist experts, Dr. Tim Ball, and on the program next week, and Dr. Peter Ward on his new model. The world's weather basically is going through massive climate shift because of changes in the amount of sulfur dioxide from volcanoes being injected into the atmosphere and water vapor. There's over 2 million volcanoes underneath this belt of volcanoes at the bottom of the oceans. It's 43,000 miles long. And these events are going to dramatically increase drought in some areas and excessive rainfall in others, which means more famine. So this year will be marked by the combination with the Baltic Dry Index and the climate shifts with a dramatic super inflation of prices for food and starvation. And because we're not dealing with the financial issues, the perfect storm of all these converging, we're going to put at risk the death of 100 million human beings caused by us not appropriately approaching this problem.
Is there a risk of an ice age, or is it just going to be increased instability of weather?
Well, the ice age may come later, but this, if you actually look at the time cycles, we're in at the 105,000-year time cycle and a number of other cycles, the 13,000-year time cycle, et cetera. We're all in the time cycles to go into another ice age, and it won't take a long period. It won't take decades or centuries. It will occur as early as between 1 and 3 years.
Yeah.
There's evidence that we're moving into that, and it's primarily caused not by a drop in temperature, but by increased injection of sulfur dioxide and water vapor from increased volcanism, and it occurs as we pass through the galactic plane because it changes the magma flow under the Earth. So I believe we are less than 5 to 7 years to heading into an ice age, a true ice age. At the same time, we're going to go to major Earth changes, including a pole shift. It won't be just magnetic. We'll actually see a pole movement that'll occur. For example, it's estimated by our scientists that 500,000 years ago, the North Pole was near North Bay, Ontario.
Sure. Yeah.
And so 800 million years ago, if you actually look at the alignment, the equator went through Alaska.
Yep.
So we're going to go through some significant changes. It may only be a so many degrees shift that occurs, but we're going to go through something. And the globalists know this, which is why they're driving these policies that don't even make financial sense, don't make military sense, and don't make economic sense.
What should individuals do? Should they go hide, buy gold, and get into a safe place? Should they leave America, or should they just sit and stand for their rights, or what? What should they be doing right now?
Well, the first thing they need to do is pray, to get guidance on that level. The second thing, I think they need to be able to have food and other things stored, because this in spasms of events. It could be as simple as 2 weeks of a bank holiday without food on the shelves. And then it'll quiet down and there'll be the next event. The thing we should also think of is here in the West, we're more likely to survive if we have skill sets, but there's peoples in third world countries where they have fragile food supplies and they're likely to starve to death if we don't help them. The people that live in areas, you know, are relatively able to weather through this and have always just grown their own food and our subsistence, they're quite likely to survive. especially if they're further away from the areas where there's going to be major earth changes occur. The populations in the big cities, if they don't have a route of escape, a plan to be outside, food stored and other things, and self-protection, because if there's a meltdown in society, like, for example, in California here, just like in Iceland, if there's no money to pay police, you don't have policing.
Yep.
So if that happens, we're going to have, and the government officials know this, that if there's a meltdown in society, there'll be more deaths actually caused by civil disruption than the actual diseases.
Yep.
or even the earth change events or superstorms.
Final question, personal one. Are you planning to stay in Southern California?
Yes, I'm supposed to be here for now, and that's what I'm going to be doing. If I get another word, believe me, you'll know first. But I'm supposed to be here for now. I'm in the, if you say, the tip of the spear, because I believe that a lot of the battlefield is going to start, because in the Western United States, new ideas tend to arise here. And, of course, the whole world is looking to America.
Yep.
And right now, part of the battlefield is I believe that the moves by Obama is preparing for a counter move, just like a snake move against itself. And I see the response to the Obama administration makes me very concerned. There may be a very dramatic move to the opposite side toward what I call the Fourth Reich Nazification of America, with the increasingly likelihood of the resurgence of a new type of Republican Party led by someone like Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger in the next 4 years. And I'm very concerned that the counter moves to this grab for power in this total Marxist-Leninist state that Obama's trying to set up is going to cause such a violent counter-reaction. We're already seeing this in the States, that America is very much like the Weimar Republic during the rise of the Nazi regime. And I think that the parallel to what's going on today in America makes me very concerned that the counter-reaction will be like a snake moving forward, and their goal will be the rise of the Fourth Reich happening in America in the next 4 years.
Well, from our understanding, and we've just talked to Jim Mars and Peter Lavenda, and they're actually on point with all of that. They're talking about it actually haven't happened already. So we're well on that road, apparently.
Yeah, I think we are. Some of those events, you're right, are already happened. Some are being played out. But we see the players be getting ready, and I believe that they already have war-gamed out the agenda to let Obama cause enough of a response by the states that when they finally bring in the end game that they want to really set up, it'll be a Nazi fascist state that will rise out of the ashes of the Obama administration.
Right. Problem, reaction, solution, as David Blake would say. Okay, well, thank you very much for your update, Bill Deagle. It's very valuable to hear what you have to say in terms of what might have happened back in October, some of the eventualities that could have been rescued, in a sense, by the white hats that are in the government.
Right. And we can still turn it. Again, it's not deterministic. The future is not frozen. It's a liquid.
Exactly.
Okay.
We'll be seeing David Icke in a few days' time. We'll be very delighted to introduce him to you.
Sounds good. Take care.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.